What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we are. It's a Wednesday on the 94 WIP afternoon show. With Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Ike, how we feeling?
Well, Brother Spike, few days away from an opportunity to get to the NFC Championship.
Oh, yeah.
I'm excited about that. Fritzy, baby daddy, how you doing in there, brother?
Doing great.
Holla at your boy.
I know people are excited. 72 days till opening day.
Oh, God.
God.
Yeah.
Way to bring down the show.
No, no, no. We'd never do that. We're a couple days away from reaching Ike's favorite round.
Yeah.
The NFC Championship game,
listen, yeah, what are we? No, what are we? Oh, you said the NFC Championship game.
I thought
you meant golf in Clearwater.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
I thought you meant the divisional round. I think the Eagles are 6-0.
In divisional round?
In divisional round games. Oh. Or 6-1, something like that.
Because last year they lost in the wild card round.
Yep. 21, they lost in the wild card round.
Yeah.
Usually when they get to this round, they don't lose.
That's right. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Well, that's why they played in so many NFC Championship games.
Yeah, no, it's a fair point.
It's a huge show, guys.
Yes.
Huge show. I know it's not a big Flyers time, but it's always a big Flyers and 50 time for the official afternoon show, or the official show of the Philadelphia Flyers. So we'll have Broads with 3 for Flyers and 50. Shady at 3:30.
About that. Cut on a dime.
Yes. LeSean McCoy going to join us at 3:30. Brian Baldinger will join us at 4. New Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings with somebody back into the rankings that hasn't been in months. That's at 4:30. And then the top 5 at 5. But we start with our Philadelphia Eagles, who play for a chance to go to the NFC Championship game on Sunday. And I woke up this morning to a really good article from Tim McManus on ESPN.com about Nick Sirianni. And the headline was something to the effect of the things in public that make everybody question Nick Sirianni, those things do not exist in the locker room. They love Nick Sirianni. And I just want to give, if you didn't read it, it's really, really good. I want to give a couple of little nuggets from it. So first, it was talking about Jordan Mailata, when Jordan Mailata's father was going through a health issue. And Nick called Jordan into his office. Jordan thought he was in trouble. And then he got in there, and Nick Sirianni just asked him how his dad was doing. And it said, Sirianni served as a confidant to Mailata during that period, having sit-downs with him and creating a safe space for Mailata to, quote, to talk and get his feelings out. Uh-huh. Jordan said he was very supportive, said if I needed to miss time, I could miss time. That meant the world to me. I love that guy. I'll do anything for Nick, to be honest. Then Rick Lovato said about Nick Sirianni, it's incredible to have a coach like him who cares about each individual on this team like that. He's a special coach. Every team I've been on that's been to the Super Bowl or deep into the playoffs, we've been the tightest of groups, and that's how I feel about this team this year. Then Isaiah Rodgers, you know, he missed his first year here because of the gambling thing, suspended for the entire 2023 season. And Coach Sirianni left him a note, like sort of a long inspirational note about his journey. And Isaiah Rodgers said, the notes aren't just generated, it's something that you find motivational. It's real personal, like you know that he wrote it from the heart. And Isaiah Rodgers packs the note in his travel bag and reads it before every game, the note that Nick Sirianni left for Isaiah Rodgers. He left another one for N'Kobe Dean. N'Kobe Dean said, I don't know any NFL coaches doing that. When it comes to being for your players and having the utmost confidence and respect for your players, I think Nick Sirianni is second to none. And you know what happened for me couple months ago that I'm a Nick Sirianni guy. Mm-hmm. And for all of his warts, for the things that we worry about, the in-game decision-making and the yelling at fans and maybe saying something in a press conference that he shouldn't and maybe being a hothead, all of those things, for all those things, he has the number one most important thing. He has emotional intelligence. And he can get the players to play for him. He can get the players to realize what they've done wrong, what they need to do to come together, to grow together, and to show up ready to play. He is a really, really good coach, and I'm a Nick guy. And I think what we all need to, and this is what we're going to ask, because we know you're a Nick guy,
yep.
is if you were on the fence, even if you were anti, are you ready to declare yourself now? After hearing things like this, seeing the turnaround from this team from last year to this year, are you ready to declare yourself a Nick guy? You are.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I'm with you, brother.
Yeah, and this stuff is
yeah,
part
I mean,
of the
listen,
reason, right?
These are things that I would hear, not necessarily about the personal letters and all that stuff, but when you hear players sort of come in to support Nick, this is stuff that I heard about last year. This is stuff that when rumors were swirling about him and whether or not he should be the coach, that you make a few phone calls, you text a few people, or people hear the show and hear what's being discussed, that players want to make sure they put in their vote of confidence for the guy. So I am not surprised that his players feel this way about him. And unlike some fans, and I'm not necessarily condemning fans for it. You know, winning cures all. So when you win, it's a lot easier to tolerate certain things that you didn't tolerate from a player or a coach prior to. But the players don't waver like that. The players were in support of him in the tough times as well. They came to his defense, and nobody wanted to hear it. Oh, they're just saying that. What else are they going to say? They're on the team. It was leaders that supported him. I say this to say that while some people may have a change of heart, and we welcome that. We welcome those that have had a change of heart and can appreciate what Nick Sirianni has done as a coach during his tenure here. I've always said, to me, it's been more than just the X's and O's, right? Play designing, like being this sort of genius of a head coach that enamors everyone. There's a connection there that he has with his players, that he has the ability to sort of get them to buy in. And it doesn't always end in winning. But for the most part, you're going to have a culture that usually sticks together. Now, there's always the chance you have a bad apple or two in the culture. And that's when you got to remove them. Andy's one of the greatest player coaches ever. I don't know how many players that would line up for Andy. Doesn't mean Andy didn't sometimes have some bad apples in the culture. Right? But you have to know how to deal with that.
Well, and the other thing I'd say about being a player's coach, because I think people assume that if you're a player's coach, it just means that the coach lets you get away with whatever you want.
That couldn't be the further thing from the truth.
Andy Reid was a player's coach. Andy Reid held you guys accountable.
Man.
It was tough.
First 5 years, he didn't smile.
Yeah.
You didn't know if Andy was happy when we won or not. Like, seriously, like that was Coach Reid, but he wanted to change the culture. So while he could be a player's coach, he was still hard, firm, but he was fair.
And
he was fair. We respected that.
And players always say that about Nick too.
Hard, firm. Coming up at 4:30.
Yeah,
that's right. And 5:50.
And then the other thing is when you ask players what they like about Nick,
mm-hmm.
one of the first things they say is he holds us accountable.
Yep.
He holds us accountable. He holds us. Now he's a good guy. Now he likes mm-hmm. the same music. Not all that stuff. So we're going to ask you 215-592-9494. Are you ready to declare yourself a Nick guy? And the last thing I'll say about declaring yourself a Nick guy, it means you can't just jump off the boat if something goes wrong.
Well, hold on.
I'm serious.
He's looking for the escape hatch.
Well, I'm saying,
always.
It doesn't mean you can't be critical if he does something you don't like, but if you're a Nick guy, it means you're a Nick guy. You're
yeah.
there. You're
yes.
with him.
Yes.
You know? Jack Fritz.
Yes.
Now, I know I had a journey with Nick. I thought he was doofus. You know, I thought it was never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this year was going to go off the rails, and it didn't. That's why I'm a Nick guy. You feel like you have come to our side. Are you a Nick guy?
No, but that doesn't mean he hasn't grown on me. I'm growing into a Nick guy. I'm not anti-Nick.
You're not, but you're not a Knick guy.
Because I'm gonna jump off if things aren't going well here. Because I do think.
I think that's the difference, by the way, between being a Knick guy and it grew on you a little.
I'm still a Knick skeptic. I'm not anti-Knick. I'm not calling for his job. Even if they lose on Sunday, I don't think I'll be calling for his job. But I still think a lot of this is talent dependent. I do. I appreciate the notes. I appreciate all that stuff. But I don't think he can do what Sean McVay did this year. I don't think he can do what some of these X's and O's guys do of get the most out of. He's getting a lot out of a very, very, very talented team. And that's great. But I still can't do this whole, well, now he's one of the best coaches in the sport kind of thing.
Well, he is.
Ish.
You mean ish?
He's ish.
He's one of the best coaches. There's no way that there's five coaches better than Nick Sirianni in football right
now. I was going to say, he has to be top five,
yes,
right?
Yes, easily.
Andy Reid, McVay, Tomlin, right?
No.
Get Tomlin the bleep out of here.
Get Tomlin out of here.
He won't play
not anymore.
Nope. Years.
All right. Nope.
Harbaugh.
Can't live off his resume. Harbaugh's still good.
Yeah.
Yep.
Both Harbaughs?
Both Harbaughs?
You know what? Yeah. Well, listen, Jim Harbaugh is good, too, but it's only been 1 year. But he's damn sure a good coach.
Right, yeah.
He's damn sure a good coach. We know what he did in San Francisco, and look what he did his first year with the Chargers. I would go Sean McDermott's a good coach.
Yep.
Still putting Peyton in there? Sean Payton?
Sean Payton's a good coach. He's a good coach. Look what he did in his first year. I mean, second year
With the Broncos,
a rookie quarterback coach. So, yeah, I think Sean Payton's a good coach.
He's in the Shanahan mix.
He's in that mix. Yeah, well, Shanahan's a good coach.
I'd put Sirianni ahead of McDermott at this point. I would.
That's fair, yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
You know, there's been enough questions. You know, McVay, I don't think there's any questions. Andy, there's no questions.
Right.
There's been questions about McDermott.
Yes.
McDermott was on the verge of getting fired.
Yes.
The same way Nick was.
Yep.
The same way Nick was. And I don't hear people talking about Sean McDermott the way that they talk about Nick Sirianni.
I agree.
All right. 215-592-9494. Are you ready to officially declare yourself a Nick guy?
What's our guy in Detroit? Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell's a good coach, right? You
good
believe
coach.
That?
Yes.
Yeah, again, I'll see without Ben Johnson.
What? Why is it that you need to see without? All these coaches need guys, man. What are you talking about?
Because I think it matters. I believe in Dan Campbell, but to put him in elite categories as NFL head coach.
Forget about elite. Like, because
he's been put in that category.
He hasn't won a title yet, so I don't think he's in that title with the guys that won a title. Like, McVay has gone to two Super Bowls with two different quarterbacks
totally
and won a Super Bowl.
I think Nick and Dan Campbell should be viewed in the same light.
Okay.
Is that fair?
That's fair. That's
I think
fair.
They're fair.
So that's fair.
I'm just curious to see what he looks like without Ben Johnson. Again, growing on Nick, but I'm not, you know, 10 toes jumping on the deep end, cannonball.
I think the difference between a Knick guy and not a Knick guy is a Knick guy will be there if things get a little rough. And I think what's going on with a lot of people is, and I think you mentioned this off the show, is that people aren't hearing much about him. So they're like, yeah, he's fine.
Right.
But that is different than being a Knick guy. It's
that
different than truly believing he makes a difference with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
And if the players are winning and they are telling you that he makes a difference, to me, far be it from me to say that they're wrong. 215-592-9494. Corey of Columbus. Corey, you a Knick guy?
Man, I've been a Knick guy since he got here, even when he was talking goofy on the press conference. You know, this show right here, this show.
Well, I wasn't a Knick guy then. He had to grow on me at some point.
Yeah, I actually remember you before you even coached the game being like, this ain't going to work.
This ain't going to work.
Yeah. Mike said, Corey, he ain't asked Ike. All right, look. Y'all And OG made a good point yesterday. This show is a great show. Y'all get up here, and y'all got people thinking that's really, you know, Otis is thinking they David Ruffins. Y'all got people calling in here thinking, you know, they really beyond they Michelle Williams, but they thinking they Beyonce. Like, come on, y'all. Y'all got to appreciate the heavy hitters that call the show. You know what I'm saying? Yesterday, Spike. Hey, yo, ESP was cooking you yesterday, you know.
He wasn't.
He had you in the grill.
He wasn't.
He absolutely was not.
He was not. It wasn't even what I was talking about. And he specifically said, Corey, I'm not talking about the way that you think. And why does everybody think he's cooking me?
Hey, because I know how you think. See, you might think I might not know, but I know. I watch you like a hawk, boy. Everything I'm listening, I'm watching. Look, first of all, let's pump the brakes. Yesterday, y'all was all... Oh, like Sean McVay just way better than Sirianni. I don't know if that's true. First of all, in the Super Bowl he went up against who? Joe Burrow and Zach Taylor? He wasn't going up against Andy and Mahomes or Belichick and Tom Brady? And time out.
Bro, you act like what
Joe Burrow's probably the best quarterback in the league.
Let me know we not stop? The best quarterback in the league is a three-time Super Bowl champ. The MVP, that's the to stop playing. Second of all, let me keep going. Y'all sit here talking about, oh, he got a Super Bowl. Doug got a Super Bowl.
But he's got two appearances and a Super Bowl.
A Super Bowl before Andy Reid, yes or no?
Don't make me into not a Nick guy by bringing up Sean McVay.
Yeah.
Let me get on that Super Bowl thing. Y'all bringing up the roster. This dude, Sean McVay, won a Super Bowl with four, maybe five Hall of Famers. Now, Nick got a good team, right? He ain't had no five. He had
sure he does.
Four bona fide Hall of Aaron Donald, first ballot. Paul Miller, first ballot. Jalen Ramsey going to the Hall of Fame. Andrew Whitworth going to the Hall of Fame.
Well, I don't know about Matt Whitworth, Stafford. But you're good with the other three.
Who? Oh, maybe Lane Johnson?
Well, hold on. Jalen's a lock Hall of Famer. Saquon's a lock Hall of Famer. AJ Brown's a lock Hall of Famer.
Saquon wasn't no lock to the Hall of Famer until he came to Nick.
They got Michael Jordan, Corey.
Hold on now. I'm talking about, we don't know that shit. I'm talking about when they was on that Super Bowl team that season and not Von Miller, Aaron, Donald, them, they was going to the Hall of Fame. That's what I'm telling you.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah.
Like, it's just a big difference.
Nick, and you might can throw Matthew Stafford in there. You may be able to throw Stafford in there.
Exactly. And Cooper Kupp, maybe. He ain't no scrub now.
Nope.
Don't act like he a triple crown with a.
Yeah,
like,
but hold on. We're Nick guys. You're going so hard the other way.
It's like,
because.
What? It's not like Nick doesn't have a talented roster, too.
Nah, he do. But by yesterday, it's not you, Ike. It's them other two. They were sitting up here. They were sitting up here acting like if like when you sit up here and be like, do you like Coke or Pepsi? And somebody, Pepsi.
All I said, I think Sean McVay is probably the second best coach in the NFL, and I don't think Nick is.
That's a little bit. That's an overstatement.
No,
who's the second best coach in the NFL? Yeah,
if Andy Reid's number one, who's number two, Corey?
I would put Kyle Shanahan over Sean McVay.
No. Right, now we're cooking. Now we're cooking.
That's wrong.
Let Corey cook.
How is that wrong?
What has Kyle Shanahan done?
Kyle Shanahan
guy? I love Shanahan.
What has Kyle Shanahan done? Corey, what has Kyle Shanahan done as a head coach that Sean McVay hasn't?
They go up against each other. What's the record? They in the
I don't know what the record is.
That's not how you judge it.
I don't know what the record is.
So head-to-head don't matter. So, let me get this straight. Head-to-head don't matter?
No, it does.
They've both been to two Super Bowls.
We're looking at the overall record, though.
Sean McVay's 1-1, and Kyle Shanahan hasn't. And by the way, Kyle, you want to talk about talent? Because it's not like Kyle Shanahan's teams haven't been talented.
And some people say Kyle Shanahan blew two Super Bowls. Three, if you count the Atlanta Super Bowl.
But you got to give him credit for getting Brock Purdy, who's ass, into being in a Super Bowl. Meanwhile, McVay had Stafford.
That's true.
Well, but McVay also created Jared Goff.
Created?
Oh, he's been good in Detroit,
in another place where you said the head coach isn't even going to be able to survive without the offensive coordinator.
You're being dramatic, classic WIP. I said I had questions.
who created Brock Purdy?
Shanahan, I know.
Shanahan. I think Shanahan's a great coach, too. Yeah. He's not Sean McVay.
Let's pump the brakes. We got Andy. This the thing. And I'm going to end it with this. It's just like the quarterback. You got Mahomes and Reed. They at the top. Everybody else battling for second, third in that pool. Stop putting them with these other dudes. They the cream of the crop. It's like the afternoon show is at the top, the midday. John Johnson and all them, they fighting for that spot.
I like you didn't put the morning show on there. Yep.
Yeah.
They in the third tier. The morning show.
What about Go Birds? You call them too?
Go Birds, that's elite though. They
yeah, well, no, it's Triple A. I know.
They one B, baby. That's one B right there.
All right.
I'll holler at y'all.
All right, Corey. Corey ruining the show at the top.
Yeah, it is.
You guys actually weren't positive enough on
that. Are you ready to declare yourself a Nick guy? 215-592-9494. Sean in Maple Shade, you're on WIP. What's up, Sean?
Hey, how's it going, guys? Love you. First time caller.
Thank you, Sean.
Appreciate it, brother.
So, Spike, I need to talk to you about something you specifically said was emotional intelligence you think Nick has?
Yes.
I mean, controlling your emotions is what I think emotional intelligence is.
That's not from a
manager talk.
Yeah, here we go. Because I knew Jack was going to make fun of me. From a leadership standpoint, what Nick is like, you have to understand that every player needs something different from you, and what your job is to bring out the best out of them. That's what emotional intelligence is, and that is not X's and O's. It's not knowing when to call a timeout. It's about how to get what is best out of. And those are things that are very hard to teach. You have to be humble. You have to be aware of who you are. You have to be aware of what you're not good at. And Nick has all of those things. So from an emotional intelligence standpoint, as a leader, I think he is elite. I think that is an elite skill. And that is something that is very hard to achieve with just like hard work and intelligence. It's a different thing.
I can agree. He is definitely a player's coach. Most people could say that, even though I'm not a Sirianni guy. But it's the things where, you know, for a while in the season, I'm like, okay, no shenanigans, nothing crazy is happening. And then the thing pops up with Zach Ertz and the thing. It's those distractions where I don't want that from my head coach.
Yeah, he's not perfect. That's what I'm saying. But no head coach is. And you think Andy Reid's an elite head coach, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So for 14 years, we complained about Andy's bad clock management, his commitment over the top commitment to throwing the ball. We complained about all those things, and we recognize that though he's not perfect, he's still elite at what he does. And my point is not that Nick Sirianni's perfect, because he's not. He's gonna screw up again. Mm-hmm. But my point is that the positives outweigh the negatives. That doesn't mean we can't complain about those things, but if you're going to tell me that because three times a year you're going to disagree with his decision to go for it on fourth down, that is more important than the fact that every player in that locker room is like, I would die for that guy. And he turned the team around not only from 2023 to 2024, but twice during 2024, it felt like the wheels were coming off. Even, I could say three times.
I was going to say three times,
Post-Tampa game, post-Cleveland game, he created that, but whatever.
Yep.
And then
the Jags game.
Oh, and then I'll add the A.J. Jalen thing.
Oh, yeah.
That was another opportunity.
Yep.
That not only did the team... Not only did the wheels not fall off, they showed up the following Sunday and wanted to prove to everyone that it wasn't happening.
Yeah.
And that happens because of the guy in charge. It doesn't happen because of talent. It doesn't happen because of scheme. It happens because of Nick Sirianni.
Then that's the thing about when we decided to give him credit, because, you know, this whole season we got all this information of, oh, yeah, he's taking a step back from the play calling, and we want to give him this credit of, yeah, he's got the team going because he's got the guys behind him, which he does.
He's the CEO coach now, right? He's the CEO coach.
Yeah, exactly, right. But then you got, you know, Kellen Moore, who I think he's doing an okay job. I credit, you know, a lot of the success is our defense being number one with Vic Fangio, which was huge. And then you add in a piece like Saquon, which is a game changer. There's some games we would not have won if we didn't have Saquon.
Oh, sure.
Oh, and, without a doubt.
And I think, honestly, given and thank you for the call, Sean. It's hard for me to judge Kellen Moore, to be quite honest with you, because of Jalen.
Because we run the ball so much.
Yeah, it's really like the reason I put Kellen Moore's performance into context is because I just look at, he's been a creative pass caller in previous stops. He's had top five offenses in previous stops. He's had quarterbacks that threw for 4,000 yards and 40 touchdowns in previous stops.
Yeah.
So if we get here and all they're doing is run the ball and throwing it 18 times a game, to me that says it's more of a compliment about Kellen Moore that he's not forcing what he wants to do.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to give him a ton of credit for that, but it's hard for me to judge him completely.
It's funny. Listen, so you sit there and talk about Kellen Moore and that situation and that dynamic of sort of adjusting and not running an offense that he was accustomed to. Quite frankly, Mike McCarthy tried to say that's the reason why they got rid of Kellen Moore, because he wanted to throw the ball too much.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't because of running.
Right.
So coming here and doing what we're doing now is obviously an adjustment that had to be made to fit Jalen and what he does well. I wonder if that pushes Kellen out.
that he doesn't want to be
words,
here.
In other words, he feels restricted.
Yeah, he can't show what he wants to do.
I wonder, that may get him to want to take that job in Dallas.
And it's another thing I'll give Nick Sirianni credit for, because you not only have to manage the egos and the personalities of your players, you have to do that with your coordinators
coaches,
as well.
Yeah. Coaches, you don't know that very well either.
Right.
He had to get to know them this offseason.
And you have to call Kellen Moore in and say, hey, I just talked to the offensive line. We all think we should run the ball 60 times a game. So, all right.
Yeah, we're going to dial back all that YZ banana, yep. X2.
So coming up in...
Just made up a play.
YZ banana. Coming up in an hour, LeSean McCoy joins us. Shady joins
us
right at 3:30. We have Flyers and 50 coming up at 3. And your call is, are you ready to declare yourself an official Knick guy? 215-592-9494. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.